Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super J-Cast. My name's Joel. I'm joined by Damon McDonald. It's Wednesday, the 4th of February, 2026. This is episode 398.
That is correct. 98. Oh, man, I tell you. Almost there, that magical 400, Joel.
Do you know what I've got planned for our 400th episode?
Hopefully nothing.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. It's going to be a regular old episode of us chatting nonsense.
I mean, what are we going to do? Sit here and stroke our egos?
We should have a party episode where we pop party poppers and eat cake and jelly and ice cream and play Pass the Parcel.
Well, look, we can do that
because give us presents.
In 4 days, it's my birthday. So,
what have you got planned? What we do?
So we'll have people over the bar on Friday, and then Saturday we're going out with another group of friends to dinner reservations at a nice Italian restaurant in Philadelphia. So that should be nice.
What are you going to order? Have you planned that far ahead?
I think I might go with the veal chop, the veal cutlet chop. It looks amazing. What else? I don't know. I like their, I'll tell you what, unfortunately, I really like is their dirty martinis. They're fucking great. I don't know. I'm in the mood for maybe some calamari. I don't know. Meatball. I mean, just listen, the sky's the limit. I'm down for just about anything, to be quite honest with you. Then maybe they have a special. Who knows? But yeah, it's a nice place that we like. It's right off by our friend's house. So we'll do that. And then Sunday is the Super Bowl. And I could watch that without any stress because no teams that I even have a remote rooting interest in are in it. So that's good. So it can just be a party. So, yeah, I mean, we got a lot planned.
Who do you think is going to win? Let's have NFL pundit Damon.
Okay. I think Seattle wins, to be quite honest with you. I think New England is a good team. Don't want to discount that. But they did have a very easy schedule to get there. And I know people, you can only, play, you can only win against who you play, and I get that. But I think Seattle's very strong across all facets. And, I think they take it home, the Seattle Seahawks.
Hey, speaking of football cup finals.
Go ahead.
Arsenal made it through to the League Cup final. Which is, for listeners who don't know, it's the lesser of the two domestic cup competitions.
Okay.
But we've not been in a domestic final since 2020. And that one was during COVID, so fans weren't allowed in the stadium then.
Okay.
So it's been 8 years, I think, since we were in a proper domestic final that fans were actually allowed in the stadium. Okay. And, yeah, whilst it's not the most prestigious of all the domestic cup competitions. Trophy's a trophy. And for a lot of these dynastic teams in England, winning that League Cup has been the thing that opens the floodgates. So I'm really excited. I'm hoping against hope that I might get a ticket for it. I'm not expecting one, but it'd be nice if my friends can come through for me.
Yeah, put out the bad signal.
Listeners, anyone can hook me up with a ticket. Right. I'd love to go. I'd love to go to Wembley. And yeah, I just feel that winning that would be good for the vibes, wouldn't it? You know,
sure
you get the experience of having those big matches, that winning mentality, lifting a trophy, get a buzz going, give you a bit of momentum going through to the rest of the season. And I think, let me just see, so we beat Chelsea yesterday. It was a two-legged affair. So at the moment, the other semi-final is Man City, the money cheats against Newcastle. So City won the first leg 2-0.
Okay.
And they're currently winning the second leg 3-0, which means they're winning 5-0 on aggregate. So, it's going to be tough for Newcastle to turn that one around in the next 40 minutes. I don't really like their chances. They're up against it here. So,
but at this
we don't know who will be playing in the final.
But at this point, you kind of want at least Newcastle to score a handful of goals, right? Just to kind of close that gap, right?
They could score 4 goals just to make it interesting.
All right.
But that's tough. That's a big ask considering they're a little bit shit at the moment. Almost yeah, cup finals. Love them.
I'm rooting for you. You know that. And I don't know. Feels good. I don't know. Felt something different about this year. I'm going to keep my comments to a minimum on this because I don't want to jinx it. But it does feel good. Are you a fan of the Olympics, specifically the Winter Olympics?
No, they bore me to tears. I have no interest in it whatsoever. Right. So,
can I sell something to you?
Next segment, please.
Oh no,
the Olympics.
Can I sell you a little bit, and you can be like, "Nope, go fuck yourself, Damon." Or, okay, I'm going to give it a taste. I'm going to give it a shot.
You've got 30 seconds.
30 seconds. NHL players are in the Olympics representing their home countries, so you're getting the best of the best, and the passion is always up. A ton in these games. So every game is going to mean something. You have the best players in the world representing their countries, going for gold, playing against each other. The hockey will be tremendous. Joel, will you tune in?
Who are the favorites?
I would say Canada or the US.
I will watch it to cheer against the USA.
Oh, see, now, okay, that's fine. keep in mind, my favorite player, Austin Matthews, he is American, and he will be on. I will be rooting for Team USA.
I'll cheer for Team USA for you. This is not an endorsement on the country, Donald Trump's fascist police state.
Of course not, listeners. Please, of course not. Now, there are plenty of players on Team Canada I like, and I normally would root for Canada because I feel like Canada cares more, but if it gets down to the nitty gritty and like people will get on board here. So again, come on, we're going to be Team USA here and tune in, watch a couple games. Tell me what you think. I will be asking for your opinions. You don't have to watch everything. Hey. You don't have to watch like fucking Sweden, Finland, even though that will be great hockey. I'm telling you, like that rivalry is intense and great. They hate each other on the ice. But just like watch the US games or the Canada games.
I will do that. You've sold me on it.
Nice.
Can I change the subject now?
You absolutely can.
Speaking of, I wasn't planning to talk about this, but speaking of endorsing problematic people, have you seen the current drama about Hangman Adam Page and Marty Scurll?
No.
It was Marty Scurll uploaded a photo to his social media account of him and Adam Page together.
Okay. They're friends, right?
They're friends, yeah. And now, obviously, everyone's in uproar about Adam Page saying, what are you doing? I'm not expressing any opinion on this. I just think it's extremely funny that Marty Scurll did that. Like, Adam Page just be like, Marty, what the fuck? Why did you put that on social media?
Well, I'm looking at the picture right now. I just kind of did a little... he's not like, you know, this was like he posed in the picture. He's doing a selfie, right?
I want to know, did he say, Adam, is it all right if I put this on Instagram? Or if he did it without his permission?
I don't know, maybe. Who knows? Here's the problem I have. And it is
I'm tugging my collar now. What's David going to say? Please don't say that it's okay to do what Marty Scurll did.
Oh, God, please. Are you out of your mind? No, of course not.
It's not time to forgive him. We don't have to hand it to us.
I don't have to do, here's the thing. I don't have to do shit. I have no relationship whatsoever. But there are people in my life, and I'm sure there's people in your life, and I'm sure there's people in listeners' lives where your friends make dumb fucking decisions and dumb fuck and hurtful decisions and bad ones. And yes, there are times where you just have to be like, dude, I can't fucking be in your presence. You just fuck up too
radioactive
much.
Radioactive. Yeah.
Correct. But in the same breath, I will also say that there is something about a friend, like, not like you can hate the thing that they did, but you can, if the person, you know, listen, if the guy's out there doing the same dumb shit over and over again, yes, you just walk away. You have to walk away. There's been plenty of times in my life where that's happened. But I don't know the relationship that Dave had, and I don't know if – I don't know. I'm torn. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm torn. I feel for, like, people who see that picture and are absolutely disgusted by it. And I feel for the people who have to see even his face, period. I understand that. You have no idea how much I understand that. So I don't – but, again, I don't – I don't know. I think that's a real tough one. It is. It is a tough one. There are people that can say, fuck that. I'm out. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything that he fucked up. And there's not even just fucked up. It's not like he jaywalked. He fucking did some pretty heinous things. But I don't know. Like, are you going to condemn Hangman Page for taking a picture with a, I don't know, like, I guess people can and people will. And they have every right to, right? And I'm going to make that point very clear. I'm not defending anybody. I'm just like, I don't know. Like, that's a tough fucking spot to be in.
I think remaining friends with someone and being, you know, trying to help them see the error of their ways. Okay, but don't take a photo of you guys together and put it on social media when one of you is still an incredibly public person. That's just asking for trouble.
It is. And again, it's not like unwarranted, you know, trouble. It's, you know, people probably have a right to do that. Yeah, I mean, that probably wasn't the best move to post that everywhere, but I don't know. Now do people like not like Hangman Page now?
Yeah, he's getting a lot of criticism. I think everyone's got to draw their own line in the sand there. Who am I to wag my finger and say who's right or wrong over this?
Well, see, again, I mean, I could tell you who's wrong, the person who fucking did the heinous things. The person who is right is... I don't know that people are going to have to make their own judgments on that. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, it's guilt by association. And, you know, if you're in any way supporting that person, it's tough. I'm going to be very clear on this. I am not condoning any of this. You know, I don't know. I mean,
can I talk about my Katsu Sando?
Yeah, please, before I fucking talk myself into a corner.
why did I bring that up?
I knew you were
going to have some profound analysis of the situation. I just wanted to talk about the nice sandwich I made.
Oh, Christ, we're dead. But we're not dead because we agree. I don't know.
You've not said anything unreasonable. I think
I don't think I have.
Interesting discussion. No, it's absolutely fine. There's a very interesting discussion to be had about, you know, loyalty and friendship and, you know, how, to what extent you should support your friends when they've made mistakes. But that's not one I'm willing to have on the Super J cast. And the Super J cast, I just want to talk about myself.
Yes, this is not Goodfellas where it's like, never rat on your friends. And, you know, it's not that. I think everybody has to make that. Oh, please.
Yeah, so Marks and Spencer's are now selling Japanese-style milk buns, and they've become a big hit in our household. We're always fighting over who gets to eat the last milk bun. So yes. I had that. And all other shopping I do is almost exclusively from the expired, you know, the reduced price aisle in the supermarket. And I found it's from the cafe, restaurant, not restaurant, sort of takeaway Japanese fast food chain called Wasabi. And it was noodles with peas, which was disgusting. But it came with a katsu. I couldn't remember if it was a chicken katsu or a pork katsu cutlet. So noodles, absolutely vile. So I fed those to the children. But I kept the katsu, the cutlet. So I put that in the air fryer and on top of my milk bun, which lightly toasted, a little bit of butter to stop sogginess, QP Japanese mayonnaise, katsu on top, shredded. I would have used shredded cabbage. I didn't have any, but I had some salad leaves. I put some salad leaves and I bought back a little bottle of the Bulldog tonkatsu sauce from Japan. So nice. That on top of the cutlet. And oh my God, Damon, it was a transcendent experience. Oh. It took me back to that great morning I had, which I think I told you about. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show when Mally told me to go out and get some breakfast for her and the kids from 7-Eleven. And I didn't. I went into Komeda Cafe, which was just opposite 7-Eleven. And I stole half an hour, just sat in there and had this delicious katsu sandal. It's this lovely pillowy milk bun with a delicious succulent crunchy pork tonkatsu. And I had a cup of black coffee. And I just sat there just thinking, oh, this is the life. So that sandwich that I made yesterday wasn't up to that level, but it brought back a lot of good memories. I bloody love a katsu sando. It's a really underrated sandwich, isn't it?
Oh, it's so good. And yeah, I told you when you told me, I was like, that's the one thing I miss. Like that fucking sandwich. And we have places near us, well, one place that does their best to kind of replicate it. And it's close. I'm going to give it, you know, it's not bad. But there is nothing like that. There is nothing like those doors opening and the ding-dong, and, you know, just rolling up, grabbing one of those things and a strong zero and, oh, your fucking day is set. God damn. And that's one thing I definitely fucking miss. Definitely miss that.
So I watched the Royal Rumble.
What?
It was on Netflix. And I thought, I can't resist watching the Royal Rumble, Damon. It's... I don't know. I should have known better. It was fucking awful. Damn.
There was so nothing better for you. I bet. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine all just like
me watching it.
Really?
Her go-to question when I'm watching wrestling is, this is the one thing she's picked up. She'll say, who's the baby face? Who's the heel? Because she wants to know who to cheer for. And I explained to her, no, Esther, they're all bad people. no one should be chiv, and I taught her the phrase "yankoid slop." So we had an educational moment.
Wow. Well, so that was at what time your time? Because I think it was like in the middle of the afternoon for us.
Yeah, it was about 7 in the evening or something. It was on a nice time.
I have absolutely no idea who won. Who won? The men's
Newcastle have pulled a goal back, Damon.
There you go.
It's 5-1 on aggregate. The comeback. Oh, no, I think it's been disallowed.
Oh, Jesus. Offside? Jesus Christ. Was it Reigns? Reigns.
Yeah, it was, yes. Roman Reigns.
So that match.
It was very bad. It was so boring, really? Damon. Like, since Patterson died, they can't do Royal Rumbles anymore. It's all just, it's the entrances, the music. Right. Right. And they come down with their little choreographed entrance and do their poses. And
everyone then
sing
along.
They'll pull a face, do some emoting. They'll pull them and another person will pull faces at each other. And all the eliminations were the same. It was all guy gets thrown over and the guy who just eliminated them leans against the ropes and cackles and gloats over eliminating them. And go, ha-ha, I eliminated you. Isn't that great? I'm going to turn my back on the rest of the ring now. Oh, no! I've been eliminated by another person because I wasn't paying attention. That happened about 18 times during the match. It was so boring. I don't know why I did it to myself because I used to view Royal Rumbles as like pizza, right? Even bad pizza is still good to eat, right?
Right.
So that's what I was thinking about Royal Rumbles. But they just dropped off a cliff after like 20. The last one I remember really enjoying was the 2018 one when Shinsuke won.
Okay.
And since then, they've just been, horrendous. They're so boring. Like, nothing happens. No one gets over. And it's... I just do not understand how people could enjoy watching it. It's just absolute bilge.
It's not for me, but, I mean, you know, I mean, there are people that love fucking, you know, Marvel movies. You know, there are people that love... There's plenty... I mean... Look at the fucking charts, man. Like, I would say, I look at like a Coachella lineup. You're just like, what? And I get it. I'm old, but like, I'm like, why are people? I don't get this at all. Fucking off. But you know, I don't want to be the old man yelling at the fucking clouds. But it is like, I don't get it. But they're making money, I guess. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I was wondering if our friend Watanabe was going to show up, but he didn't.
Nah, that would have been nice. Did they build that stadium for that show? Did I read that right?
Yeah, they did.
What horrendous. The fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about just pissing money away. Holy shit. They
not even that. I just think about the awful human rights abuses for those migrant workers that must have transpired in order to create that stadium.
Well, whatever you do, Joel, don't get your picture taken with them, because you're... I'm getting people. Just having a little levity here.
AJ Styles had his quote-unquote retirement there. He was defeated by Gunther.
Mm.
And there's a bit of speculation that he might not have actually retired, that he may be interested in working... elsewhere. I've heard some whispers that he might even fancy a little return to the old Shinnihon. Is that something you could see happening?
No, he's got to go back to, what is that called? What's the video game store? Potato? I want to say Sweet Potato, but I know that's not right.
Potato Month.
What is it? Super Potato. Oh, I couldn't remember the most basic of adjective. Right? Super Potato. Yeah, maybe he wants to, I think that's weird. Well, it's pro wrestling, so I know that they are in their own bubble, so to speak. So anything that happens outside of their world, they don't really, you know, they're not. So he retired from WWE.
He took his gloves off, but then he put them back on again.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know a ton about what AJ Styles has been doing. He seems like he's still in upper tier card, so I'm assuming he's had some pretty great matches. Would I be off base?
Yeah,
on
he
that?
Can still go. Like the Gunther match was just not bad, actually. It was quite good.
Okay, I think that would. I mean, listen, and this is entirely speculation. Again, it could mean nothing. But if that's the case, I'd have no problem. I'd have no problem him hopping on for a little bit. No problem at all with that. If he could still go. Again, I haven't watched a fucking AJ Styles match since that WrestleMania match with Shinsuke. And I was just like, how can you have that? And just what, maybe a year or two before that, you had maybe one of the best Wrestle Kingdom matches in its history. So... I think that was my official, I am so done with this fucking company, I can't believe it, moment. So, hey, listen, if he could still go, I'd welcome him back with open arms.
Yeah, I think it'd be really cool if they can get him into even if it's just like one match at a big show, put over Callum Newman at Wrestle Kingdom. That'd be nice.
I mean, if he's able to, I mean, make it a summer run, make it a you know, 6 months, make it maybe even longer than that. I have zero problem with that. Here's what I don't want. I don't want him winning a title and then that title disappearing off the face of the fucking earth while he's playing video games in Georgia. You know what I mean? And then he just, you know, he's finally, they pay him and he comes back after, you know, the belt
okay,
goes
what about
extinct.
You get the AJ. Short run, the summer of AJ, but one of the conditions is Good Brothers have a tag title run at the same time.
God almighty. That really does fucking put a bit of a damper on things. And you're going to give them the belts as well? No.
Yep.
No. No. Because who are they beating for these belts? Are they beating Good Brothers?
They're beating Knockout Brothers.
No. Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good. Let's move on from all of that. and he was like, I feel like we've tried to move on from that, and it's been such a difficult thing, Bullet Club in general. There's always just that they squeezed every fucking drop they could out of that orange. And now we're going to bring them back with that cap. Again, we're fantasy fucking booking here, people. Don't lose your heads. But if that were the scenario, I'm saying hard pass, because it's too much. It's too much. We're right back where we fucking started from. We don't need that.
Fuck off, AJ. How dare you? How dare you even suggest that? We don't want you here anymore. Go away. Yeah. You're a bad person.
I did see Good Brothers. They're going to Noah. Did I see that?
They already went, didn't they? That was for the New Year's show.
Oh, did they? I thought they were going back. I thought they were going. Okay.
Maybe they're going again.
I don't know.
Who cares?
Maybe I read that wrong. Who does care? But excuse me, maybe I read that wrong.
I've got the Shoe Pro Weekly Pro Wrestling Awards.
From
the latest issue of Japanese pro wrestling magazine Weekly Pro Wrestling.
Wow.
So this is the awards is voted on by readers. So the caveat here being that a reader could, in theory, just buy loads of copies of the magazine to vote.
Sure.
So, men's pro wrestling Grand Prix. First place was Tanahashi.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Wow. Ozawa was second place. Takeshita, third place. Goto, fourth place. I'm not going to read all of them, but those are some of the notable ones. Okay. Men's best match. First was Kiyomiya versus Ozawa from the Noah show, New Year's Day. Second place is an interesting one. Gaikid versus Tanahashi from July in the Tokyo Budokan. The Kenny Gabe match from Wrestle Dynasty came in fourth, just behind the Goto Zach New Beginning match. Takeshita Evil, the G1 final, was in fifth place. So it's interesting there. I'm just scrolling through to see if there's anything else interesting here. Favorite wrestlers.
Yeah.
First place, Tanahashi. Second place, Natsupoi from Stardom. Third place, Yuto Ice.
Whoa.
Yeah. Seventh place, David Finlay.
Okay.
10th place, Oscar. So there's, obviously a lot of Knockout Brothers fans buying Weekly Pro Wrestling. This is, this is going to get a bit silly now. 11th place, Zach. 12th place, Toriyano. So 978 points for Yano.
900?
Yeah.
Come on.
Nothing really. Okay, I tell you, the one thing that stands out to me, I've got to scroll all the way down to 50th place. In 50th place, 6 votes behind Yoshihiko, the blow up doll from DDT, is Kazuchika Okada of AEW Wrestling. Less popular than the blow up doll.
Well, it basically is at this point. Come on. Wow. I'm still kind of flabbergasted over the 900 people who voted for Toriyano. What did he even do during the year for you to make him your favorite still? Like there's no one that kind of moved up the pecking order in that person's eyes. Like, they once a Toriyano fan, always a Yano fan. 900 people felt that way. I'm gonna sit here and tell you bullshit on these awards because there is no. I'm not saying that there aren't 900 people that like him, no doubt. And I'm not even saying that at one point in that man's career that 900 people said, "Yep, he is my favorite." You mean to tell me in the year of 2025, 26? I guess they're voting on 25. That 900 people find Toriyano their favorite pro wrestler?
No, well, this is what I mean. It's not necessarily 900 people. It could have been one person buying the magazine 900 times. Yeah. It could have been just Yano just buying up loads of copies. So,
wow. Right, his family. Everybody at the restaurant, was it Ibertiz or whatever the fuck it's pronounced?
Ibertiz, yeah.
Yeah, everybody, like when they sign their check, they quickly slide under the voting. Right. So they can tally it as a vote. Tally. I hate the word tally. Tally it. All right, very good. Tally ho.
Was it? No, I've been thinking actually a lot about this Gabe Kenny match, which was the runaway winner of the Voices Wrestling Match of the Year poll. I can't even go back and watch that match. Like, just thinking about that match annoys me. I get really cross thinking about it, given everything that happened afterwards. And I'm not saying people who voted for it or still love it are wrong. And in ring, it was still great, and there's the spectacle of it and everything. But it's just interesting, like, for me, having the heart of that match has been ripped out of it. The whole sort of load-bearing element of that was Gabe Kidd playing the role as Shinnihon defender.
Right.
And now that got exposed as just being absolute carny bullshit. Shame on me for falling for it. That match just doesn't hold up to me at all. Like, to me, that context matters. Whereas a lot of the people that voted, they don't care, or they're able to kind of lock that match away in a memory box with all the feelings and context as
that's
it was
what it is.
On January the 5th.
Yep, that's what it is. It's watching that match, loving it, being involved in it, you know, emotionally, watching a great pro wrestling match, and yeah, all of that, and then they're not taking into consideration, you know, whatever, June, July, August, September, whatever. It's they're just saying, okay, that match, and I'm not saying they're necessarily wrong or you're wrong. Neither are wrong.
Wrong. This is the big match tourists, the monthlies, the AEW fans, and that is what their approximation of what they think could New Japan is. That's their idea. The two white guys wrestling in the Tokyo Dome.
Okay.
Anyone who voted for that, you're idiots.
Oh, come on.
I'm joking.
But yeah, like that match, again, I remember right after that show, and doing this show, you know, you're like, we were high as a kite. You know, we were fucking eating it up. I mean, to me, that's a great pro wrestling match. Now, whether that came to pass, like all those things that we had in our mind of what could be and how it ends and where this thing actually went. And even like, as you know, at the time you're getting fucking Chris Charlton going off on a fucking tangent, losing his skull. And you know, you're kind of like, oh my God, what the fuck is he doing? Like even at the time, you're just like, wow, he's really going in on this. Not even fully understanding what happened just a mere, you know, couple hours later. Now I get it. I get it. Because here's the thing, too. Like, all right, so let me give you this one. What is your favorite non-New Japan match? What's your favorite?
Whatever.
Just if I say Joel, what like I'm not a pro wrestling fan, and I'll never watch New Japan. I just don't have the time for it. I need something to work. It just pop on my TV, or whatever. But yeah, let's just say New Japan doesn't exist. What's your favorite match?
Oh God.
My point being is this. I won't strain you, but. I guess my point being is this.
2001 like, Royal Rumble.
Okay. All right. But my point, again, it's like rarely, I would say more than half the time, you take that favorite match and then you could probably point to a million different things of, well, they could have gone that way, but they fucking did it. They went this way and that ruined, you know, what could have been. There's a lot of ruined what could have been. And if you did that for every match that you liked, you'd probably have three matches that you really liked.
Yeah. All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong because I understand that that watching it in high, like it's a match that if you go back and watch right now, you're just going to be like, wow, what could have been? And it does leave a little bit of a bitter taste in your mouth, and it is a bit disappointing. But
yeah, I'm maybe sort of cross with myself for enjoying the key jangling. Okay, jangled those keys, and I was all up in that shit. I was like, yeah, jangle, jangle, baby.
Jangle more. Right. Well, guess what? I would say 99.9% of pro wrestling is we're jangling keys. You know what I mean? Like very rarely.
Well, I would say that Yota Tsuji did a superior version of the same theme with better key jangling. I think winning the IWGP title at Wrestle Kingdom with a Boston Crab is a better key jangle than any of the jangling that Gate did.
Yeah. I'm with
also,
you.
He's Japanese, so that automatically makes it
Joel. All right.
Okay, let's go on to talking about serious stuff. It was a fucking 41 minutes and we've talked nothing about all the stuff that's going on in Japan. Stu says, please discuss Taguchi and Fujita spot. What did I see? Did you see this, Damon? Fujita ramming his fingers up Taguchi's backside. It was is what everyone's talking about.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, again, if you go back into Taguchi's history, he does have a tendency to incorporate anal play in his matches. For those go back and watch Kenny matches, you can go back where he played the fucking horse and all that nonsense. His finishing move involves buttocks. He does have a fascination with ass. He can't get enough of it. He's the guy that giggles at every fart joke online. You know, he's that guy. Yeah.
Do you think Ryusuke Taguchi has ever brought himself to orgasm by stimulating his
prostate gland? Without question. Like, you didn't even have to finish the sentence. Yes. Has he ever had an orgasm from shoving his foot in? Yes. Yes, he has. He does. He loves the ass play, man. He loves it. Obviously. He finds it to be funny and sensual probably at the same time. But yeah,
we respect that here on the Super J Cast.
Do we?
I do.
Okay. I do so. I certainly do. But yes, it might be like a little bit of an initiation. I mean, you go back, not to give a shout out, well, to give a shout out to London Joel and Kevin Kelly doing their podcasting and the stories that they tell. I'm sure there's a story that's involved in there where it's like in some type of an initiation where, yep, you're getting your you're shoving your finger up his head, or you know what I mean? Like there's probably some type of hazing going on that we're unaware of right now. But yes, Taguchi does love the ass play.
There was also a little interesting aside from these Korakuen shows where Master Huato pinned Doki during a tag match. So looks like he might be the next challenger for the junior title.
Heat him up. Heat him up. Because, I mean, according to the internet, we're doomed without Hiromu. But I mean, we that's something you had wanted, though. That's something you were kind of clamoring for.
He needs the right opponent, right? I know at some point, and I hope it's this year or it might be next year, there will be a Kosei Fujita versus Master Huato junior title match, and it is going to go extremely hard, and everyone's going to be like, whoa, where did that come from? I can't believe that match was so good. So I just want to be on record telling you now, when that match comes, it's going to be great, and they're going to beat the shit out of each other.
Mm.
So just whatever is going to accelerate the timeline to get us there, I'm all in favor of. I mean, Huato versus Doki, I don't know what that could look like, because Doki is, I don't think he's as lazy. He's not been fully infected by the House of Torture badness. So that might be good. And, you know, with the kind of Mexican influence on the styles of both of them, that might, you never know. They might just have a bit of alchemy there to make the match more than the sum of its parts. But I totally understand why people hand wave it. And I could also definitely foresee it being absolute pig shit. So, you know, it could go either way. It's either going to be horrendous or brilliant, but nothing in between.
I kind of like the idea, and on the surface, you might say, that the styles are so different and, you know, kind of who they are is so different that it might make it interesting. But yeah, you're right. It is one of those situations where it's like, I think people are just like not feeling sexy about the names. I think they could probably pull it off. I think they could. I don't know. That's an interesting one. I'm hoping that the styles are so different that it makes it pretty great to watch. But I get where people are kind of like a little cold on it, you know. But I say, give them a shot. Give it a shot. I think it might work.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go through all these results of the Corcoran show. I think it would be better to analyze it through looking at the new beginning in Osaka card. Because all that stuff, well, a lot of that stuff that happened on these Korakuen shows play directly into what's going to happen in Osaka. So this is at the Edion Arena, the Bodymaker Edion Arena 1, which is sold out, I'm reliably informed. So that's very next nice. Wednesday, February 11th. Kickoff match, a 20-minute time limit, is the Katsuya Murashima send-off match. So we've got Katsuya Murashima and Shoma Kato versus Toriyano and Togi Makabe. So Young Lion Cup final, Katsuya Murashima defeated Shoma Kato. It was pretty fucking great, wasn't it?
It really was. I liked it. I wish they did that more often, those tournaments, quite frankly. I think, dare I say, I'm actually excited to see where they go and where they kind of get under the supposed learning tree. I'm actually a little interested to see where a lot of these guys go, because I'm pretty high on this crop. I think it's going to be fun.
Murashima's great, man. I've been a fan of his for a long time, and I think since Sho decided to be shit and lazy, there is definitely a gap in the junior division for a proper power junior. And I'm not necessarily saying Murashima's going to be a junior his whole career, but I do think he will probably return as a junior. And that's not something we've seen for a long time, is it? Like a proper power junior who can, you know, throw people around and use his size to his advantage. I love the kind of jumping Boston Crab that he does. Whether or not he sticks with that, I don't know. But he's got really good crowd connection. So I really do think there's something there with Murashima. My understanding is he's going to Australia, you know, hopefully under the Robbie Eagles learning tree. So probably a similar kind of excursion to what Kosei Fujita had. So I don't think it's going to be a long one. I think the days of like these
right 2 year
3 year long meandering excursions are done. So I would not be surprised if we see Murashima back on the New Japan roster before the end of the year. So I think it's going to be an accelerated one. And yeah, excited to see what it gets up to. If he is under the close tutelage of Robbie Eagles, then I'm sure it's going to be a really, really productive one. So yeah, just really happy he got the cup, and he's just a bit different. I like his shape. I like his passion. Big fan of the guy.
This is something to be. I get excited about the idea of these guys going on an excursion and where they go specifically. I think this is one's a real interesting one, like a real, the easy way to go would be like, going to Mexico. And I think I think
that's what Trebicato's doing.
Okay. And when I say easy, it's just because the logistics and where people have gone in the past. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's an easier path by any stretch. And I'll also say that there's something about coming out of Mexico and just having this energy, epiphany of who you are and how you want to be presented. But I think that you can get that in Australia. I do. I like that. And truth be told, there's probably not another guy that I would be like, well, you know, if Robbie Eagles is the guy that's really taking him under his wing, I mean, that's a pretty great way to go. And here's the thing too: there's so many different elements of, and I don't want to even say style, but like it's not the same cookie cutter. Oh, now here's my Lucha influence training, and here's my British influence training. Like, this feels a little bit different. It feels like Australia, and I could be dead wrong, don't get me wrong, but it does feel like Australia is a big hodgepodge of all these different styles all into one. I don't know. I kind of dig it. I kind of dig it. I think that's a good one. I don't mind the Mexico one. Trust me, I don't. But I think the Australian one's especially for him. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just feel like he would gain more there. That's an interesting one. I like that.
Over under on Sho Mikoto doing a masked gimmick when he's over in CMLL.
I'll say no mask.
I think I've got to be oppositional here and say yes, mask.
Okay. I mean, look, I don't think who's going to complain. Like, you're really, I'll say no. I'll say no. He can go to Calgary and be like the Viet Cong Express. That's obviously.
I mean, given that his surname is Kato, he's got to go with the Kato Green Hornet.
Oh, really? Again, really? We're doing that again? Huh? Okay, all right. It didn't work the first time, sir. Do you think that either of them will make a journey to the great UK?
No.
Okay.
It's rubbish here. It rains all the time.
Well, yeah. Have you seen the sun yet?
It's popped up periodically for 5-minute bursts here and there, but I'll send you a screenshot of my weather app, which I've just opened. I don't want to go on another weather rant here, but
no, all the weather dorks just sat up in the chair. Are you kidding me? They're all ready.
But yeah, if you've got your phone handy, have a look at that.
That's going on. There it is. From outer space to my phone. All right, let's see here. Yeah, it's the emoji is cloud with the moon behind it for today, and just a lot of percent and drizzle and rain. Just
very
like
100%. 100% rain, 95% rain, 85% rain, 60% rain, 85% rain, 85% rain, 70% rain. We were talking, Damon, a few months ago. You know, we like watching those videos on YouTube of like mock-ups of national emergency alerts about major catastrophes happening. I was watching one which this is pretty, I think it was, so there's this children's channel called CBeebies, and it was an alert on CBeebies about the sun not rising. How everyone was in a panic about that, and a warning message saying that the Earth had broken out of the sun's orbit or something, and the sun was spiraling away and never to be seen again.
All vegetation will cease to grow. Please collect all vegetation. Yeah, those things are. Now, what I liked on those wacky ones are where they prank like parents and shit with the warning things, or like.
I found out. I want to read it. So, emergency alert. We sadly have confirmed that the sun has drifted far away from Earth and is continuing to do so. All life on Earth cannot survive complete darkness and will perish within 1 month.
There you go.
that's what I think is actually happening at the moment.
Oh, you do watch uplifting videos, don't you? Really, really motivating and spiritual. Yeah, the weather sucks.
Good luck, Katsuya Murashima and Sho Mikoto. Excursion.
Right. As the Earth drifts out of orbit and we all perish. Wow. Okay. Yeah, that doesn't look good with the forecast out there. That's pretty depressing, actually. And I'm not Mr. Fucking give me warm sunshine summertime guy. It's freezing here. It hasn't been above freezing for like 2 weeks. The snow that came that hit us so hard, dude, it's all still there. It's just all just piles of dirty snow. Terrible. Hate it. All right, very good. There's your weather dorks. We'll give you next. Maybe next week we'll talk about Dew Point.
So Hiromu Takahashi has left New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's taken us an hour to get there. I mean, to be fair, right? We kind of covered that already because obviously we were the first to break that.
Yes.
What was a rumor at the time, which has turned out to be true. Again, just amazing that we just keep making stuff up and
once again
turns out to be true every time.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, if we had the power, we wouldn't fucking do wrestling things. We would like predict Super Bowls and fucking stocks and stuff like that could actually get us rich. Rumors. Let me be very clear. When we're very clear, it's not a rumor. It's a thing. So take your rumor, stick it up your ass. All right, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, so this is the Hiromu Takahashi send-off match. We've got Taiji Ishimori, Hiromu Takahashi versus Jacob Austin Young and Francesco Akira. So a very dense match. Right? There's a lot to unpack here. Let's talk about Hiromu leaving first. I mean, I understand there's a lot of people, fans of his, who are going to be upset. I'm in the camp of this is good. Whilst I like Hiromu, and I think he's still a really high-quality wrestler, like you just watch his match against Amakusa from Noah, like obviously he can still deliver at a very high level, and I don't know where he's going to land. It seems that he's heavily rumored to be going to WWE, so curious to see what that looks like. But you know, personally, I'd rather see him in a promotion that I would actually watch, so I don't know. But it does seem that WWE might very well be the destination. But in terms of New Japan, it frees up spot, doesn't it? I think he obviously was getting a bit stale in the spot, and he wanted to remain a junior. Like he said, his dream was to be world heavyweight champion while still being a junior. Don't really know how that works, Hiromu, but our understanding was that the company wanted him to be a heavyweight. He didn't want to be a heavyweight, which, you know, fair enough. You respect that. He wants his creative freedom to do what he wants as a junior heavyweight. But I think him leaving frees up a spot on the roster for one of the other juniors to take that place and move up. And again, like I said, I want to see the likes of Fujita and Wata and Francesco Akira, and you know, there's all these young lions who are hopefully going to be returning soon to fill those spots, because someone's got to step up and deliver the goods now, and that's exciting to me.
It is. Look, I don't think anybody, there are people that might think that, like, another star is gone. Another shining light star is gone. And I'll say to a certain degree, you're right. But it's not like he's – I will say this. Let me do this. One, we saw the best of him. And I don't think, no matter what company he goes to, he'll – be at the level that he once was. I think injuries and time and all of that has caught up on him to a certain degree. Can he still deliver? I think so, yes. But it's not like you're getting the guy who dazzled you in his matches. And again, you go back to Dragon Lee stuff, and it was a while ago, but again, the guys had, you know, major injuries. Two, there is still the perception that he was the top guy. And no matter what, even with Despy as your champion, even as whomever would be Ishimori, whomever, like it always felt like he was the guy, no matter what. I don't know, like, again, if from what we understand is accurate, again, this is a situation where you know, you don't know what's in a guy's mind, but from what we were told, this is how it would look, that he wouldn't have remained a junior. Okay, well, now he's leaving. And depending upon where he lands, like, you're still a junior. Like, if you still want to do junior things, where are you going to actually do that, I guess is my question. Like, couldn't you just be the heavyweight? Because guess what? Wherever you go, you're going to be a heavyweight. You know, there is no really junior things. If that's WWE, you know, they don't really treat guys that are, quote, juniors very well, at least in my eyes. So you would think you would just be mixed in the mix. You would just be that, you know, what they do over there. And AEW the same. So that, I don't know, that whole thing just leaves me scratching my head a little bit, in the sense of, well, if you think you're going to create some kind of junior division, unless you stay in Japan, and or I don't know, but that's not what we're hearing. So,
look, it's all money, isn't it, Damon? I mean, we can dress it up with all these. I want to do this. I want to do that. It's money. They're going to get paid loads more money elsewhere. That's
right.
That's
wherever you used to work.
Sorry to burst the bubble, everyone.
right. If wherever. My new favorite thing. Well, it's not even that new, but it's just like, it just feels like I was watching, or I don't know. I saw something about Ricochet and him just slagging off WWE and being like, "Oh, they kill history of wrestling, and they killed me as a wrestler, and blah blah blah, and I'm so glad to be where I'm at now." And it's like, then you see like Ciampa, and it's like, oh, WWE, then, you know, let me, you know, I couldn't really grow, and I'm so happy to be where I'm at right now. And it's like, motherfuckers, you knew that at the time. Let's stop pretending. You know what I mean? Like, you knew you got the bag, and that's fine. And the perception of you're in the biggest company there is, and all the What
were they expecting?
Did they
think, well, when I sign, then suddenly I'm going to get all creative freedom, and the people in charge are going to not want me to do the usual cookie cutter version of what wrestling should look like. I'll be able to do all the moves that I want.
Right. It's just like, I don't understand. Well, you know, again, but that's the thing. And again, I'm not saying that Hiromu is like talking shit about New Japan, but again, he's not. Apparently not creatively happy, and he's able to do stretch out and do what he wants to do and live his dream. Okay, well, sometimes I take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. I really kind of do. It's about both, to be quite honest with you. And if you think you're going to get creative freedom in WWE, I got fucking news for you, pal. But we'll see. Again, there's, I don't think anything's official that he's there, but that is the scuttlebutt of him going to WWE, which I think I kind of find to be, good luck. But if history might not be on your side on this one, Hiromu.
I'm mildly interested to see how this match plays out in terms of the result, because whilst, like, Francesco Acre, he's in the middle of a big push right now. And on these Korakuen shows, on the back-to-back nights, he pins Hiromu and Ishimori. So he is clearly getting, go as far as say, the rocket pack. But, like, they are making him look like he's a big deal in this junior division, which is great. And even Jacob Austin Young is getting a bit of shine as well. He had a really good, fiery backstage promo. So, like, conventional pro wrestling wisdom would suggest that Akira and Jacob Austin Young win this one to give more momentum to United Empire, who are on fire at the moment, and as Hiromu's leaving the territory. But we know New Japan have a habit of letting guys go out with a win, so it also wouldn't shock me if Hiromu and Ishimori have like the feel good, you know, rivals turned teammates who managed to get a win on Hiromu's last match in the company. And yeah, they'll hug it out, and that'll be a nice moment, and say goodbye to the fans on with a win. Like, I don't really care either way. Like, I, if it was up to me, I think, I don't know, like, Hiromu's done so much for the company. Like, I wouldn't begrudge him having a win on his way out. But it does kind of raise an interesting question that I see a lot of people complaining about guys on the way out not putting people over, and like kind of conditioned to hope/expect for the final match in the company to be one of the classic sort of leaving the territory, loser leaves town, putting over the next guy, putting over the up and comer in a heated singles match. But I also understand why that's not really happening for a variety of reasons. One of which being, I think for a lot of these, they're not really sure whether or not the guy's going until right down to the wire. So they find themselves in a position where they can't necessarily book that big send-off match where it's putting over the next guy. But I would say in Hiromu's case, I feel he did that already in last year's Best of the Super Juniors. And I remember talking about this. I think it was Fujita and Akira he put over in big main events. And Best of the Super Juniors. And I thought, okay, wow, that looks conclusive to him. That looks like a guy who is on his way out of the junior division. And I thought it was going to be a transition to heavyweight, but it's obviously not turned out to be the case. But in this instance, again, I'm not going to be waving the pitchfork thinking, oh, why didn't he put someone over on the way out? Because I think he has been doing that a lot over the last 12 months.
Right. I've never heard a complaint of coming directed at him that he wouldn't put out. He's lost him a million people. And again, I know that there is this idea of you leave, you put somebody over, and that's the right thing to do for pro wrestling. But, it's not 1984 Mid-South, and it's not, it's not Backlund beating the heel at Madison Square Garden as the blow-off to a 3-month consecutive run. And, now it's on to the next, I I'll go so far as to say this. I don't know if it's that important anymore. That the idea of, name me a guy that would mean something. Again, winners and losers, and the company's responsibility is to make guys stars. And what we mean by stars is they rarely lose. And when they do lose, it's impactful and important. When has that been? It feels like anybody can lose anybody. You would think that they would do that. It doesn't happen that often. Let's put it this way. It doesn't happen as often as I think people want to remember from wrestling when they were a kid. I don't know. It just doesn't feel that it happens a lot.
Adam says, do you think Sanada will eventually follow his LIJ teammates and leave, or does he return to New Japan with a better chance now of being in the IWGP Heavyweight Championship scene?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but you had mentioned that the idea of him, the injury being as severe as we initially thought, that has lessened, correct?
Yes. I don't know if this was a case of him going backstage and people asking him what's wrong, and he's just pointing at sort of around his neck area, and they're like, oh, do you mean neck fusion surgery? And he's like, yeah, whatever. the latest I heard on that was not neck fusion surgery, and not as bad as originally speculated on.
Okay. Does he come back to New Japan, or does he follow fellow LIJ members off into the sunset? Is that the question?
Yeah.
I'm hoping for the sunset. My honest opinion,
I think he's done all he can do in New Japan. Go do something new.
What? The guy had the big boy belt.
He had his big Swiss cheese boots. We've had that.
We've had that. Check that box. What else do you want from? What do you want to do? What different? What new? What? How is he going to knock your fucking pants off? That's not happening, right? So you want more of Sanada?
Comedy footwear.
You want wacky footwear? Okay. Well, let's just say that are the things that we like different greatly. And so let's just leave it at that.
All right, moving on. Second match, special tag match. The War Dragons, Driller Maloney and Shingo Takagi versus the Holy Seaman Army, Great Khan and Henare. Driller, latest I'm here, I think he's most likely to be staying, which I think is good. I think, there's still lots of things for Driller to do in New Japan, and he's carved out a nice little niche for himself as this powerhouse wrestler. So this, to me, reads like a title eliminator, as much as I think the winner of this match seems likely to challenge for the heavyweight tag titles, if not immediately, then at some point in the near future. And just by the way things are going with United Empire, I'd expect this to be Great Okan and Henare to win here.
Again, you would think. I would have no problem either way. I know that when we left off with Henare, we were all pretty high on that tag team, and it felt like things were moving in the right direction for both guys. But again, would you complain if it were Drilla and Shingo? I think that would be really fucking good too. But it does feel like this is – that's why we're having this match. And rightfully so, and as they should. It does feel like Hanare and Okan, though. But, you know, stranger things have happened. Especially with Okan. Who knows?
Yeah, it's win-win, really. I mean, this is what you get when you book the tag division well. You take singles wrestlers who are not doing much and put them together in relatively high-profile, high-quality, meaningful matches, and it's good, and it benefits everyone. So, yeah, I don't really care who wins this because I actually like both teams. So the real winner is me.
There you go.
Third match is the NEVER Openweight Six-Man Tag Championship, where Bishamon-Tin, Oleg Bolton, Yoshihashi, and Hiroki Goto are defending against the previous champions, Hartley Jackson, Yohei Oiwa, and Zack Sabre Jr. So this was previewed with a trio of singles matches at Korakuen Hall, where Oleg Bolton and Hartley Jackson had a meat slapper match, which the highlight being that incredible spot when they were fighting up in the bleachers, where it was a pounce, wasn't it? Bolton just pushed Hartley Jackson, sent him flying, and he just cracked his spine on the Korakuen chairs. That looked incredibly painful, but that was great. I mean, it definitely lives up to expectations, and you get that great moment of Oleg Bolton doing the, you know, that ragdolling thing where he deadlifts him and starts swinging him around, and that was, yeah, really spectacular. That was all what we came to see. Yoshihashi Zack, that was a nice sort of change of pace from that. They were doing their grappling, sort of a more sort of pure wrestling match, and I think they've got underrated chemistry, those two. I remember back in, I think it was 2018, where Zack put his G1 spot on the line against Yoshihashi. I know maybe it was 2019 actually, on a Kizuna Road show, and I remember that one being really good. So yeah, I think these guys have got good chemistry, so nice to see that. It was just like a kind of mini G1 show here, and then the main event with Goto against Oiwa,
I like that.
And that was very good as well. I heard a lot of people upset that Oiwa didn't win. I think it's important to remember Hiroki Goto is still a pretty big name, like one of the more pushed heavyweight commodities in New Japan. And until fairly recently, he was the champion. And has he had his rematch yet? Not that he's necessarily entitled to an automatic one, but did he wrestle Takeshita? I can't remember. Yeah. My point being, he's still I wouldn't say top guy, but a close to being a top guy in New Japan. So I actually have no problems with Goto beating Oiwa here. This is how New Japan tell their stories, isn't it? I don't think Oiwa has quite reached the level where he's earned a singles win over a guy like Goto yet. So I think he's going to have to go on that journey, and he'll get it back at some point. I don't know if it will be in this match. You know, maybe they win the titles back and this match finishes with Oiwa pinning Goto, or maybe they meet in the New Japan Cup or later on down the line. But you know how New Japan books things. I'm absolutely sure that Goto and Oiwa are going to wrestle each other at least twice more this calendar year, and Oiwa's going to get his win eventually. But I don't have any problems with him. It's slowly being built up as a singles wrestler, at least.
No, I hear you. But know that people, and again, I'm not complaining about people and how they watch, but I'm kind of complaining about people and how they watch. They're impatient, and they see that as, oh, they're not pulling the trigger on a guy, or they see that as, oh, well, you know, when is this going to happen? And I get it. I understand. We're all waiting for that to happen. And I still think it will happen. You're right. It is how New Japan does New Japan doing New Japan things. I can understand where people are impatient, not even impatient, because I think that's pretty, like, I'll be honest with you. I think it's past due. Like, I feel like we should be already past this point where we need to give this guy this massive singles win, or not even massive, like even like mid-ranged win, big win, to kind of get him over the hump and make him feel like, okay, he's a credible threat to somebody. Again, it does take time. It is always a slow burn. And I'm not even saying they have him circled as like, okay, he's our next guy. But I hear what people say. You know what I mean? Like, I trust me, I'm probably more in your camp than anything else, but that's New Japan Pro Wrestling. So if that frustrates you, know that you'll be frustrated a lot, I think Joel is right in the sense of he'll get that win back.
I think it's sort of mitigated by the changing landscape of New Japan. Like, I'm not worried anymore about the young guys getting pushed. They have to push the young guys because there's no one else.
Correct.
Everyone else has left. So at the moment, I'm putting my faith in them that, yeah, of course they are going to push Oiwa at some point, but they're taking their time with him. We will get there eventually.
Yeah, 1,000%.
Do you think they win back the 6-man titles?
I'll say maybe.
It's another one of these situations where I don't really mind who wins or loses. It's one, they're both good and fun teams, and I'm happy with either team winning, is that good booking? I suppose so.
Yeah. I mean, again, teams make titles, so I have no problem with either team. The only little thing is maybe I don't want Zach in 6-mans, but maybe Zach's like, you know what, I'm okay with doing 6-mans. You know what I mean? I feel like I've carried this fucking promotion from an in-ring perspective for a little bit. Let me fucking, you know, coast a little bit. I don't mean coast, but, you know, singles match compared to a 6-man. Come on. You get what I'm saying. So, you know, I don't, but who wins? Why not? Give them the titles back. I got no problem either way. Here we go.
Got fourth match, special singles match, Gabe Kidd versus Andrade El Idolo. This is a really interesting one. Contract situation for Gabe Kidd. I've not heard anything definitive. From what I understand, is he wants the dual contract to basically be doing something similar to what he was doing last year. And I don't have a problem with that. He's still a very good wrestler. Again, since he's moved away from the Orewa Shin-Nihon Pro Wrest Mr. New Japan Man thing, then I find him a lot more palatable. And I think there's a lot of value in him being a gatekeeper, you know, being the person to help get guys like Yuya and
whoops, oh, dropped my microphone.
Oh, my Lord. I thought you got shot. I think there was a sniper.
But yeah, like, imagine extended feuds. Gabe Kidd versus Oiwa, or Gabe Kidd versus Yuya, or Gabe Kidd versus Shota, or Gabe Kidd versus Yuta Ice. Like, that all sounds really good to me. So if he is sticking around, I think that's a good thing. New Japan have lost and are losing a lot of talent, so I would welcome Gabe Kidd sticking around. Like, he's obviously made some missteps with the presentation of the character and the gimmick, but you know, that can be fixed, that can be sorted out. So be interested to see how that one lands in terms of his contract situation. And yeah, this match with Andrade El Idolo, I mean, it's Andrade, so I will very much expect him to be winning this. But I'm just interested to see what Andrade parlays that win into. Is he going to be coming out after the main event to possibly challenge Yota Tsuji? Are we heading towards Yota Tsuji versus Andrade for one of those title belts in the USA? That would be my prediction at this point. But I'm looking forward to the match. Like, I want to see what kind of effort we get from Andrade back in New Japan. I think it's going to be really good. I think he's going to be he'll have his working boots on, and I'm expecting a very fun physical sprint here.
Gabe, do I want him to be part-time? Do I want, like, does he still have value to the company even as a part-timer? Yeah, for the reasons that you mentioned, in the sense of, you know, we can always use a very good character pro wrestler, be involved in feuds, get there from point A to point B. I truly believe that, yeah, this is going to be one of those guys that's, you know, winds up in the ring and points at Tsuji to challenge. I don't know. Like, to me, Gabe still has value. He still has value, but in the same breath, Joel, I'd be okay if he went 100% away. And that's not saying, like, I don't know. I'm just in this mindset of let's just deal with the people who fucking want are 100% committed.
If you don't want to be here, fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm okay with that. Like, if that's your decision, that's your decision. But the idea of, like, dual booting computers, I don't know. I'm kind of like, hey, I'm kind of just over it right now.
I'm a bit more sympathetic to that. I get it, but it's the money situation, isn't it? And I genuinely think with Gabe Kidd, he wants to wrestle in New Japan, and he's got a lot of love for the company, but he also wants to get paid. So if he can get that bag, good for him. But I also totally get people being like, just pick a fucking lane.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, the idea that you're on TV and all of, you know, American TV and even, you know, Canadian TV or whatever. Like I understand that appeal. And again, money is important too. Don't get me wrong either. But yeah, I don't know. And I'm not even saying that like, and either of the two are necessarily 100% committed to New Japan at this point. Yeah, so I hope it's a double disqualification. What do you think of that? they both can go fuck off. But yes, I think there's still value in Gabe if he decides. The problem is that if this is a like shit or get off the pot. What are we doing? What are we doing with you?
Fifth match is a special singles match: David Finlay against Callum Newman. So here is another one. There are a lot of rumors circulating that David Finlay might be on his way out. I don't know if that's going to be, like, maybe Tony Khan wants to reform the War Dogs in AEW and have Finlay and Gabe and Clark Connors and maybe finally do the Finlay-Jay White feud that we've all wanted to see. But, would it shock me? Out of all the people leaving the company, I would see David Finlay as a guy who would want to go out on his Shield and go out in that sort of classic territory style, not necessarily an explicit loser leaves town gimmick, but I wouldn't be surprised if this match ends with a very comprehensive Callum Newman win, where Callum is showing his bloodthirsty, ruthless side and just like, not saying a squash match, but ends up just really beating the shit out of David Finlay and leaving a mark and standing tall and establishing himself as, look, I am the top foreigner in this company right now, and you better stay out the fuck out of my way because I'm a dangerous guy.
I hope so. Like, and I think Finlay appreciates the value of him doing that in this match. I know I said earlier at least that, you know, you don't really get the ideas of, you know, guys putting guys over and blah blah blah. Like, in this particular case, I do. I changed my mind. And you wouldn't have this match if that wasn't the mindset, don't you think? You would hope. So maybe I'm literally contradicting everything that I just said, but in this particular scenario, yeah, I am kind of looking for that. Like, I feel like he's a guy that needs that. And I don't know if David Finlay is like, you know, it's not like Okada, but he's still I think that's an important thing to do at this point, for Callum to get a win with an exclamation point. I would like to see that. Now, will that happen? Who knows? Again, it doesn't happen a lot, so maybe that is just wishful thinking on my part. And maybe what I've said earlier does come to pass and it's just like a match. But I think that's a little bit of a wasted opportunity specifically here. So I think that's what it is. And again, I think this is another example of guys pointing fingers and challenging for titles.
I think if anyone is going to go out the right way, paying it forward and doing business, it's going to be Finlay, because lest we forget how Will Ospreay went out, basically insisting that he lose that Dog Pound Steel Cage match and make David Finlay look like an absolute killer. So I would expect David Finlay to do the same for Will Ospreay's protege.
I'm hoping that'd be something. And again, you know,
he's a selfless guy, David Finlay.
That's what we've been told. And I would also say this. Do you think that, not necessarily in this match, but do you think that there is still life to Will Ospreay involvement.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that might be a while away because he's still recovering from his injury or surgery or whatever it was he had. I don't believe he's clear to wrestle, but I think that is inevitable. Like at some point we're going to get a big match in New Japan with Callum Newman against Ospreay. And I just hope it doesn't end up with Callum Newman going to AEW.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him there, Will. I wouldn't be surprised. We'll see. We'll see.
All right. Then we've got the sixth match, the Never Open Weight Championship. Aaron Wolf defending against Ren Narita. So a little bit apprehensive about this one because Ren Narita is not necessarily the super worker that Evil is. So I'm not sure what this one is going to be like. Probably very similar to the Wrestle Kingdom match. And it wouldn't stun me if Ren wins because Aaron Wolf, he's had his big moment with all the casual fans watching and all the primetime TV and all that. So maybe now in a show like this with fewer people watching, you sort of quietly get the belt off of him and he goes back to doing what rookie wrestlers do, which is learning on the job and getting the reps in. So I don't hope that doesn't happen. Like, I would like to see them sustain this faith in Aaron Wolf and let him be champion and try and do something a bit different. Like, it would be absolutely sick if this is just like a 10-minute exhibition where Aaron Wolf is just tossing Ren Narita around the ring and doing sick judo throws on him and ends up looking like a killer. That's what I want to happen. But also wouldn't be shocked if they do the boring thing and, just all the cheating and the numbers were too much for Aaron Wolf to overcome.
I think they have too much invested in him. I do. Like, I what a fucking fart in church that would be. Like, for Aaron Wolf to just, I don't know. Like, we're trying to make stars here, aren't we? We're trying to make people special. Ren Narita's going to get
Narita into a star. Evil's left. We need a new dominant lead of a House of Torture.
Well, good point. I would not like that. Truth be told, if you gave me the book, this company would be out of business in fucking 6 months. But if you gave me the book, I'm putting it, this match doesn't go 8 minutes. I'm having a definitive win. Look, let's put it this way. Even though it's positioned high on the card, this match can't go 25 minutes. Joel, can this match go 25 minutes?
No, I mean, there's 8 matches on this card, so you think some of them are going to have to be on the shorter side, and this would be one that I would possibly pencil, draw the little circle around to be a sprint.
Sprint is right, and you are correct. It should be Wolf tossing him around. It should be. Now, again, could there be, like, you know, hijinks involved and, you know, he's in peril and, you know, can he overcome the fucking dirtbags that are destroying pro wrestling and blah, blah, blah. I think he has to win and he has to win strong. I really do. First of all, I have absolute genuine concerns if that match goes more than 15 minutes. I truly do.
Yeah, I don't think it benefits either of them to go over 10, to be honest.
Absolutely correct. With that said, then, either it's, like, if Wolf loses, he's got to lose by just, like, fucking mind-numbing cheating. You know? I just think it's easier. Like seriously, we need to fucking heat up Ren.
This would be a good time to just burn House of Torture down to the ground and start again from scratch. But they won't do that.
No, they won't. But I'm in the camp of less than 10 minutes, make Aaron strong, and let's move on. Like, he can't, this can't be a 15-minute, over 15-minute match. Even at 15, I'm struggling. It's got to be quick. Again, they had the benefit with Evil of having, one, having Evil, and two, like, that match was probably rehearsed 750,000 times. You know? They don't have that benefit right now. Yes, let's keep it simple, make them strong, beef them around, get a win, and we move on.
Seventh match, IWGP Tag Team Championships. The Knockout Brothers, Oscar and Yuta Ice, against the challengers, Yusho, Yuya Uemura, and Shota Umino. So very, very well-built feuds. They've done a really good job on these Road 2 shows, making Knockout Brothers look like absolute killers, getting squash match wins, just looking really dominant. And the first match that these teams had was tremendous. I think they're going to get even more time, so I think there's every chance that this will exceed that. I love the Yuya and Shota team. I think they've got great chemistry. Yuto has done a tremendous job in drawing out the fire of Yuya Uemura, and I'm excited to see Shota Umino. You know, had that fiery promo where he showed a lot of introspection, admitting that he's been a loser and he's not cool. And I think, very high expectations for this one. It's put in a great spot. It's the semi-main event. And, you know, putting this match above Aaron Wolf and David Finlay and Andrade, that's a big sign of intent, isn't it? That they've got high expectations for this one. So I love the fact that it's been given such a big spot on a pretty big show here. It's been a while since heavyweight tag titles have been platformed like this. So I'm really excited by this. And again, one of these situations where I don't really mind who wins. I think I would like to see Knockout Brothers keep it because I like to have dominant champions going on dominant runs. But equally, I could see the value in Shota and Yuya winning those titles because I like them as a tag team, and I know the temptation is going to be to accelerate towards the breakup and transition that into a singles feud between the two, maybe one of them turning heel, but I still think there's value in keeping these guys together as a tag team because, yeah, two good heavyweight singles wrestlers put together in a team is good and is good for the tag division. So if I had to pick, I'd say I don't know. I really don't know who's going to win, actually. I'm not going to make a prediction because I don't think there's any point.
Well, I will say there was a successful defense. And that's not a bad thing because I like both teams. I really do. Here's what they're doing well with the tag division, though. They are making not only the title match super important, they're making the number one contendership very important. And they can continue that pattern. Like, there are teams that are in that mix right now that's like, okay, now we're building up to this team because they won the number one contenders match, which makes things even more exciting. You're strengthening that. You're making that champion really seem important. And getting people juiced up over the fucking tag belts is, you know, again, you can do that with any title. It's like, but it feels like New Japan can only fucking handle one thing at a time. They can't do multiple things at a time. I would have no problem, you know, just rinse and repeat and then win the title, right? You know, after they come back again, we could do it again. You could go the other way and have Knockout Brothers lose the titles. They got to make their way back up the ladder. They win the number one, and then you know, they can win them back. Who knows? I just feel like you have so many really interesting options and keep rotating. And then now we have, you know, hey, you want to go Shingo and Drilla? No problem. You want to go Okan and Hanari? No problem. You want to go Knockout Brothers? It could be a fun fucking year when it comes to tag team wrestling. Like that would be a refreshing thing. So I'll say we successfully defend, we strengthen it so that when they do lose the title, it means even more. And people are really clamoring for it. Yeah. They have a good thing going here. And I just don't understand why they can't do more than one thing. You know? But yeah, it's really nice.
And the main event, IWGP Heavyweight Championship match, Yota Tsuji defending against Jake Lee. Burning Hammer says, has your opinion on Jake Lee changed through
the recent interview, and you see him as a main eventer and potential IWGP champion in 2026, especially considering the recent departures?
I thought the interview was good, right? Don't get me wrong. But I'm not making booking decisions because a guy cut a great promo, because I don't ever think that was really the issue. The issue has always been in ring with Jake Lee, hasn't it?
Yeah. He's always been a charismatic guy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not worried about that.
Whether or not charisma has necessarily landed with a casual Western audience is a different matter. But within the domestic crowd, at least, he's a guy who I think is appreciated for his charisma.
Sure. And again, to me, that was never really the issue. Was he like this? To me, he's always been one of those guys when the ball is given to him, it's been hit or miss. That's what I want to see from him. And until I see that, I would say no, I wouldn't give him the fucking title. No. You show me what you got. Show me what you got. Yeah. Then we'll have that conversation. But I'm not giving him a title after one compelling interview. I mean, I figured he always had that in him. It's okay, can you go 20 minutes and make me sit on the edge of my fucking chair? Not that. To me, that's important, and I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I like you, I really enjoyed the interview segment. I think it shed a lot of light on the character and explained why his brain is fried, essentially, because of everything he went through with the injury, and he was talking about being in such horrendous pain that he couldn't sleep and was just passing out from exhaustion and agony for maybe an hour at a time, and just sat there in pain watching other people wrestling and grinding his teeth away. Like, that was a very evocative image to me, and you could kind of buy into the character and see how he just went completely mental and has become this sort of court jester character who's just there to unleash all the hate and resentment that he had building up while he went through his hellish injury recovery process. So yeah, I thought that was really well done and almost made him like a sympathetic heel. And I think Right. Those are arguably the best kinds of heel, when you hear them out and you're like, huh, actually, you know, he's got a point there. So yeah, I'm really enjoying the fresh coat of paint. I like the gimmick. I mean, I would love it if they went out there and had a killer match and he proved a lot of the doubters wrong. Again, one of these matches where I think they would benefit from erring on the side of brevity. I think, like, how many minutes do you think for this one?
It's got to go at least, I'm definitely over 15. And I think you're flirting with the 20, 25. I think it's, like, if you're in that spot, that's the expectation. I don't think they're going to go 10 minutes. Let's put it that way.
I think they could, if they went aim for sort of around 20 and went for intensity rather than dragging it out to the classic, you know, 35 minute New Japan main event style, I think that would be a benefit to both of them. But again, he's coming back from injury. I don't know what to expect from Jake Lee
in
a big singles match like this. But it's a really big show of faith. And I like the fact that they're trying something new, trying something different. And I'm willing to give it a go. I'm not going to sit here and say, yes, I think this is going to be brilliant and Jake Lee will have, you know, become a wrestler transformed and is suddenly going to be one of the best in the world, because I don't, you know, I've not seen the evidence for that. All the evidence I've seen from Jake Lee as a singles wrestler is that he's a fine kind of upper mid-card guy, but I've never seen much from him for me to get excited about. But yeah, let's see what it looks like. I'm going to be optimistic here and hope that this is going to surprise a few people. And I thought it was also interesting, some of the backstage comments between the two. They had a very civil sit-down chat together backstage at Corrigan Hall, where they were kind of intimating something, like Tsuji was saying he wanted to recruit Jake Lee, and Jake Lee was kind of saying, oh, well, you know, if you beat me, then maybe I'll join you. So I don't know if that would amount to anything. I don't like Unbound Company. I think it's a bad name, and I don't like the vibes and the aesthetic of the group. It doesn't feel like a unified faction. It just feels like a bunch of random guys thrown together. So I'm almost wondering if it's a bit of a red herring and it's going to kind of blow up and become something else. Because at the moment, it just, it doesn't fit right for me. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see if anything like that happens after the match. I don't know. Now, who's going to win, Damon? Because I wouldn't be stunned if Jake Lee wins this.
Don't say that. this is a definitive Yota Tsuji win, right?
I don't know.
No, we're not dropping that title right now. All that work that we've put in, all the goodwill of now we got the real title back. Come on, we can't just fucking throw that away. No. Yota Tsuji's winning this one. I'm not gonna do a wacky radio bit. I'll eat my hat. I will seriously be. What are we doing on that next show? Let's put it that way. If Jake Lee walks out with that fucking title, I will seriously be like, what the fuck is happening? I don't even want to fucking think of it. To be honest with you, I don't even want to fucking think of it. No, because here's the. No. Tsuji's winning. Period.
All right. Well, if not in this match, do you think Jake Lee becomes IWGP champion?
No.
At some point over the next 18 months?
No. I don't. Do you really think that's a possibility? I mean, anything's a possibility, but do you really think that they would do that?
Yeah, look, with Evil leaving the company, I think if I was going to pick a guy to slide into that spot, it would be Jake Lee.
Okay, that's fine. That doesn't mean I'm belting him up.
Yeah, but I think to legitimize him, he might need that cup of coffee run.
Did we legitimize Sonata?
Is the sort of...
Did we legitimize...
Yes.
Legitimize...
Really? He used to hold the title for nearly a year.
I know, but everyone wanted to fucking jump off a bridge.
I'm not saying that it was good to do that. I'm just saying this is New Japan booking patterns, isn't it? When there's a newly established top tier heel, they tend to give them that cup of coffee run. So Naito, when he did his Ingoba, the LIJ character, the Ingobernable character, he had his little cup of coffee on the title. Evil, Jay White, he had a cup of coffee run to start with, and Evil the same. So this is what New Japan do.
You think this is on the table?
I can't rule it out.
Give me percentage.
This show. At the moment, I'd 70% Tsuji.
Oh, God. I was like, 70%? All right, 30% still on the table. I don't know, man. I got to be honest with you. I felt like this was going in. Like, again, I think everybody's got a bit of a boner over this fucking promo, and I don't know, man. I really went into this show thinking, okay, this is a definitive reign-establishing win, and we're on to the next. I truly did not even give it a fucking thought that they would drop the title to him on this show, to Jake Lee. I'm going to less. I'd say there's 10% chance that that's happening. Watch it fucking happen. Oh, see, now you got me all fucking worried. No, I think this is a definitive Tsuji. We're establishing him as the champ. We need a strong champion. This has got to be a successful defense.
Yeah, to be fair, right, to be clear, I agree with you. I think Yota Tsuji should win. I'm just saying, based on previous New Japan booking patterns. I think if you gun to my head, I'd say this is more of a Kenta title defense than an Evil title defense. But yeah, we'll see. I think having a bit of doubt there makes the match more interesting for me.
Oh yeah, I definitely. I mean, yeah. You gave me a fucking panic attack while watching a fucking wrestling show. Thanks.
Big picture here. So Doom FPL says, not a question, but I'm thrilled with how New Japan has been booked so far. New Begin is a fabulous card and every match has build up and stakes. How excited are you for this show?
Very excited, actually. I think, again, I know people are worried about this idea that we don't have any stars. Well, all right, fair enough. It's not like those household names that everybody is familiar with are anchoring down these shows. That's exciting. Like, I know that's hard for people to fucking wrap their heads around, but like the possibilities are fucking endless, right? We can have a lot of fun this year. And I'm actually excited for it. I think we've put together a really solid show. New beginning shows are always, I can't say always, but like they've become they have become must see. I mean, if our polls are any indicator of that, I think we're in good shape. We're not this, you know, we're not on the cusp of like breaking out in the United States there. We are. Oh, this is an exciting time to be a fan of this pro wrestling company because like it's open-ended. It's like getting one of those video games and like, oh, you mean I can explore this entire city? It's fucking Shenmue right now. Right? You know, it might seem tedious, but that's the joy of it a little bit. We're making stars. So, yeah. I mean, again, and if you're a fan of this product, know that this is very similar to that of like a rebuilding time for your favorite sports team. But you're past the, okay, these we're getting the doors blown off and losing 10-3. No, we're winning games. We're talking playoffs. So this is an exciting time. It's happening right in front of your eyes. It's a good time to be a New Japan Pro Wrestling fan. Now, fucking, if it goes tits up at the fucking New Beginning, well, that show is going to be an interesting podcast. But I think overall, I'm pretty happy with where we're going.
All right, see you next week.
Wrestling Omakase brings you a full course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.